The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to NFL Live. Major breaking news to begin the show, and for that we go to Adam Schefter. What do we need to know, Adam?
DeAndre Hopkins is being suspended 6 games for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing drug policy. The Cardinals have known about the suspension. I believe it contributed to the fact that they traded for Marquise Brown on draft night, but Kyler Murray is losing his top weapon on the offensive side of the football. Now, they did re-sign and bring back A.J. Green, and they do have Rondale Moore, and they did trade for Marquise Brown. But they're going to be without DeAndre Hopkins now for the first 6 games of the season. That is official. That'll be announced at a later date. But DeAndre Hopkins no longer will be a part of this football team for the first 6 games, Laura.
Adam, a lot of times when you see these suspensions happen, people try to appeal them. Is that something that we're expecting here, or is this just a solid 6 games and no appeal?
Yeah, my understanding is that appeal has been withdrawn. Not going to happen. Essentially, the suspension is final and binding. And so the Cardinals will be without DeAndre Hopkins for the 6 games. And it'll be another obstacle that this team has to overcome as it deals with Kyler Murray's unhappiness, as it tries to come back. Remember, Christian Kirk is in Jacksonville. Chase Edmonds is in Miami. This team has some weapons to try to make up for. And now, one of the biggest blows of all, DeAndre Hopkins is gone for 6 games.
We'll be on this throughout the show, as well as plenty other things. And, you know, Dan, when you hear this news and you think about what we thought the Cardinals were as they added Hollywood Brown, Adam mentions A.J. Green, we thought DeAndre Hopkins is part of this offense. What's your reaction?
They're not a playoff team without DeAndre Hopkins, and they were with before this news. If you look at Kyler's performance last year, I had our stat guy, Brian, pick this out. Okay, so QBR with DeAndre Hopkins on the field, 62. 72% completion percentage, 8.8 yards per attempt. That's for Kyler Murray last year with DeAndre on the field. With Hop off the field, QBR goes from 62 to 46. That is a massive drop-off. 72% completion, 65. That's a huge drop-off. And then 8.8 yards per attempt to 6.6. That's almost 2 yards or over 2 yards per attempt less. That's a massive kind of performance indicator that Kyler is a significantly better player with DeAndre Hopkins on the field, obviously, than without. And for a third of the season, for him to be gone is a huge loss for this offense. They're not going to be reliant on A.J. Green. Rondale Moore is a nice piece, and Hollywood Brown now has to step into being the absolute number one pass-catching option at wide receiver for Arizona. This is devastating for them.
Yeah, I agree with Dan. I mean, this is a massive, massive loss. But I also do think it might indicate some changes in the Arizona offense schematically. You know, this is an offense that under Cliff Kingsbury has used more 10 personnel than just about any other team in the league other than Buffalo, meaning 4 wide receivers on the field. That's obviously going to change now. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking during the draft, when they took Trey McBride, who I felt was the best tight end available, we might see more 2 tight end sets, which is actually, when you look over the last couple of years, something they've been quietly very good in. Of course, they've got Zach Ertz as well. I think that also benefits Marquise Brown. You know, if they are more focused on the run and have that heavier personnel, you could open up some deep shot opportunities for him down the field. But don't get it wrong. DeAndre Hopkins is everything to this team.
And you know what else is a little bit alarming, Mina, is this is a team that has, you know, the conversation of this offseason is how do they finish better? They've gotten off to such good starts under Cliff Kingsbury. How do they finish better? Now knowing that their start is going to be impacted by this and the loss of DeAndre Hopkins for 6 games, how do they start well enough to even make the end of their season or the finish of their season matter?
You know, I want to jump in here and get Adam back involved because, Adam, I think the big story has been Kyler Murray, and you mentioned that. When you think about everything that they're dealing with now, even though the Cardinals have known about this, how do you think this affects Kyler?
Well, look, the last we heard from Kyler Murray, he tweeted something about let's go Cardinals here. So he seemed to be back on the same page as the organization, but together they face now some enormous challenges that nobody could have seen coming, this potentially being one of the biggest. Think about the Cardinals' offense last year once DeAndre Hopkins got hurt and left the lineup with that injury in the second half of the year. They were not the same offense without him. They struggled down the stretch, and they struggled down the stretch in large part because of the greatness of DeAndre Hopkins and what he means to that offense. Now, they will be without him for the first six games of this season, and they will have to overcome at the start of this season what they couldn't overcome at the end of last season and figure out a way to get it done. Now, that's why they go out and trade for Marquise Brown on draft night. That's why they go and re-sign A.J. Green. That's why they hope that Rondale Moore is that much further along in this offense in which they have grand plans for him. But the fact of the matter is they have struggled to overcome the absence of one of the top wide receivers in the game. And this is now the latest challenge that awaits Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals.
Mina, I'll give you the final word here.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. You know, we saw, down, especially in the playoffs, how important Hopkins was, really the focal point of this offense when he played. There's a reason why we all praise the trade. And I want to say, you know, Hopkins is a true X receiver. He could succeed at any level, not just, you know, as a deep threat or on slants and comebacks, but really anything Kyler Murray needed. Now he loses that. You know, I like Hollywood Brown a lot, but he doesn't have that versatility, and I don't think anyone on this roster does.
All right, again, yeah. We will find out the official NFL schedule. That release happens Thursday, May 12th, to sort of identify when you would see DeAndre Hopkins back in the mix for this Cardinals team. I think that's going to be really important as you look for them trying to weather that storm, trying to make something without him until they get him back. Some more breaking news as we finally have our answer of where Tyrann Mathieu is landing. Adam Schefter here with the latest on the Honey Badger to the Saints. Adam, take it away. What more can you tell us?
Well, Lord, the deal is now in place. It's going to be a three-year, $33 million contract for Tyrann Mathieu, including $18 million guaranteed. He will be returning home to New Orleans, where he was born, where he was raised. The Saints did not get a safety on draft weekend, and so they turned their attention to the Honey Badger. And the Honey Badger will only be too happy to sign that three-year deal. Now, they're still going over the language, and they still have to finalize the deal. But the agreement is in place. 3 years, $33 million, $18 million guaranteed. Honey Badger is going to be a Saint.
Yeah, I love to hear this when it finally came down. We've been hearing the rumblings, as you had been telling us it may happen. And finally, we see him go to the Saints and go back home. Another developing story, Adam. This one involves the Giants' new defensive end, Kayvon Thibodeau. What more can you share here?
Well, this is an interesting story, and it goes back to the pre-draft process and a night where the Giants had Aiden Hutchinson and Kayvon Thibodeau out to dinner the very same night. And it was a situation where they were out with the Giants coaches, front office members, and the Giants assistant defensive line coach, Brian Cox, essentially questioned both players. Went from Aiden Hutchinson, some questions, to Kayvon Thibodeau. But Kayvon Thibodeau did not like the line of questioning that Brian Cox delivered to him. And after a couple of questions about his family's history and his own personal history, he had to go to the bathroom to cool off and cool down. Eventually, he came back, and there were some people around the league that thought that this might prevent the Giants from drafting him. The incident that occurred between the two men, I think Brian Cox was trying to push some buttons here, frankly, and he did push them on Kayvon Thibodeau, but The Giants did an awful lot of research on Kayvon Thibodeau, and in the end, they drafted him. The two men met again this weekend. They're both putting it behind them, moving forward, but it was an interesting incident leading up to the draft that had some people in the league wondering if the Giants would go in that direction.
Yeah, Adam, let's bring in Mina Kimes here. Mina, what's your reaction to hearing this story?
I mean, you know, first I should say we weren't there, right? But what Thibodeau is alleging is something that has plagued the draft process for decades, which is stories from black players of them feeling dehumanized, disrespected, or stereotyped by coaches, evaluators, the media of all backgrounds. I mean, Laura, this very weekend, a Bears scout said out loud that part of the reason they liked Jaquan Brisker, the safety out of Penn State, was because he was, quote, PhD, poor, hungry, and desperate. Mm. And you hear that and you think, man, if that's what they're saying in public, what is being said behind closed doors? I mean, it's amazing that Brisker has overcome adversity and he should be championed. But to reduce his story to a draft attribute like a 40 time is to reduce who he is as a human being. This is something I think we've all been complicit in, including the media, in our word choice, the presentation of stories. But it's 2022, and by now we should really all know better.
Yeah, I got to say, being in the green room with the families of these prospects and looking at the sacrifice real time as they found out that their lives would be changed, there's so much more to these stories than a lot of these interviews and maybe the way that we've presented. That's very, very well said, Mina. We've got a lot more coming your way today on NFL Live, including some post-draft grades from our expert Mel Kiper Jr. He'll explain why the New England Patriots received his lowest grade of any team this year. And after the Hollywood Brown trade from the Ravens last week, he said he was put in situations that weren't the best for him. Mina and Dan will explain why this isn't as big of a loss for Lamar as you might think. A lot more NFL Live on the way. Keep it locked right here.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
The NFL has taken over Las Vegas. The excitement did not disappoint.
The Detroit Lions select Aiden Hutchinson.
His name is Aiden Hutchinson, and the pass rush is flawless.
I thought it was the best first round the Giants have had since they drafted Lawrence Taylor.
I know it seems like I'm perpetually simping for the Ravens. They do smart things.
If they get a quarterback, it has to be Malik Willis.
Kenny Pickett.
I did not see it coming.
The Tennessee Titans select Malik Willis.
The reality is this, man. Somebody about to get a steal. It's a new day, new day,
new day. The 2022 NFL Draft is in the books. We had a whole lot of fun out there in Vegas, and the draft was so, so interesting.
I won so much money.
No, you didn't. You actually lost some last time I checked. But let's go through our favorite drafts for each team. Which team had the best draft? We start with you, Mel Kiper Jr. Kick us off.
Right here, land of pleasant living, the Baltimore Ravens. Laura did a great job. Eric DaCosta, GM. 4 first-round draft choices, basically, they brought into the fold. David Ojabo certainly would have been a top 15 pick. And Travis Jones, defensive tackle, Connecticut, could have been in the late first, and nobody would have argued. I think Ojabo's the key, though. Double O, they're going to have Ojabo and Owe. Both went to Blair Academy together. They will be the pass rushers, but they have to wait a year for Ojabo coming off the injury.
I'll go with the New York Jets. It was the draft of the best. They got the best cornerback in the class in Sauce Gardner from Cincinnati at number 4. He was the second corner taken. Then they get the best wide receiver in the class, Garrett Wilson from Ohio State. He was the second receiver after Drake London was the first one at number 8 to the Falcons. Then they trade back in the first round, get the number 9 player on their board, defensive end Jermaine Johnson, the 3rd. Absolute steals.
I'm going to go to the Mitten State, Mel, and that's with the Detroit Lions. Aiden Hutchinson at number 1. I think Brad Holmes, their general manager, gets his Chris Long. Jameson Williams, they traded up for. And then I love the draft pick of Josh Pascal out of Kentucky. I think he reminds a lot of people of Shaq Barrett from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I love their draft. The Lions are coming.
I don't know what state Pennsylvania is. The Cheesecake State or Cheesesteak State, rather? I don't know. I'm just guessing. But I love the draft as much as I love cheesesteaks. First of all, Jordan Davis, getting younger on that interior defensive line, allowing them to play more light boxes with the ability to stuff the run. Second, trading for A.J. Brown, established X receiver, then finally getting N'Kobe Dean in the third round.
Amazing.
I thought the smartest, fastest linebacker in the draft, such a steal.
Hey, Mino, it's the Keystone State, okay?
Okay, but Keystone. I like cheesesteak better.
Keystone?
Mino, Wiz Wit or what?
Wiz Wit out. D'Alessandro's.
No, Wiz Wit. Mina, what you got?
Oh, with.
Yes.
I'm married into an Eagles family.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Everyone in our ear, our entire control room is like, with, duh, yeah. Come on. All right, let's bring back Adam for some top stories brought to you by Sleep Number. And Adam, the story of the draft was trades, but take us through the two major ones on night one. Let's start with A.J. Brown.
Philadelphia Eagles made a major move. They managed to hold on to both the first-round draft picks they have in 2023 in a quarterback-rich draft and still get A.J. Green, the talented wide receiver from the Tennessee Titans. Right away, they signed him to a long-term extension, 4 years. You see the money there, right there, big money, $57 million guaranteed. And he becomes the newest throwing partner for Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts and he already have a close relationship. So the Eagles get the big wide receiver they wanted, but not the one people thought they would wind up getting. And of course, the other trade was Marquise Brown going from Baltimore to Arizona. Marquise Brown had an interest in leaving Baltimore, wanted to play in Arizona, wanted to play with Kyler Murray. And so the Cardinals, who were losing DeAndre Hopkins to a six-game suspension for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing drug policy, went ahead and traded Marquise Brown to match him with Rondale Moore and A.J. Green for the first six games of the season when they will be without the great DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, Adam, as you broke this news off the top of the show, you mentioned that the Cardinals knew about this. It makes a lot of sense. So let's get a little more from Hollywood Brown, because the other side of this is that he left the Ravens. Some insight, though, as to why it was time to move on from Baltimore.
Well, it's essentially
they use me how it's supposed to be used. I go for 100-yard games, and then I'm like, okay, this should lead on. Then I go games where, you know, we're losing. They wait till, like, the third or the fourth, start getting me the ball. I help the team win. Then I go to the following game and not get the ball. I'm too much of a competitor to not get the ball to the fourth. Like, I'm too much of a competitor to not help my team till we down and out. And then it's like, all right, here we go.
Here's some context on Brown's frustration with the Ravens offense. Since he entered the NFL in 2019, the Ravens have run passing plays at the second lowest rate in the league. Only the Titans with Derrick Henry have passed less often than Baltimore. However, Brown still had opportunities to utilize his speed downfield. Since 2019, he has 8 receiving touchdowns on passes thrown 20 or more yards downfield, which ranks top 5 in the NFL. On this show, we have been very adamant that the Ravens offense was often too predictable. But Mina, do you agree with what Hollywood Brown's saying?
A little bit, yes. Mostly, no. I mean, undeniably, this is a run-first offense, and wide receivers aren't targeted as much as they are in other offenses around the league. But deep shots off of play action are also built into this offense. And over the last 2 years, Hollywood Brown ranks 4th in the NFL in targets over 20 yards. Not catches, targets. Like, Lamar Jackson was throwing to him. He also, in that time span, ranked 5th in drops, which I think is part of the reason why they're willing to part ways with him, because those drops seem to come in key moments. Not saying he's not a productive receiver. I think he's going to be a saving grace for Arizona with the loss of Hopkins. But to me, it makes sense why Baltimore moved on before he got paid.
Yeah, I think it was smart for them. Listen, every offense in the NFL has their own identity, has their own personnel grouping that they play their best at. And the Ravens, since 2019, have always played their best when they put 3 tight ends on the field. Remember 3 years ago or 3 seasons ago, Lamar's MVP campaign? It was the most difficult offense in the league to line up against pre-snap. They put those 3 tight ends, 13 personnel, 1 back, 3 tight ends, and you didn't know if it was going to be run pass, and you're going to treat them like wide receivers, you're going to treat them like offensive linemen.
Yeah.
In that same season, the Baltimore Ravens had the number one offense in the NFL. In that same season, their number one receiver, wide receiver, had 46 catches for 584 yards. His name was Hollywood Brown. Last year, their number one wide receiver as far as draft pick-wise, Rashad Bateman had 46 catches for 515 yards. Basically identical seasons. They are just going to ask Rashad Bateman, to play the role that Hollywood Brown did 3 years ago. They're going to put those tight ends. They drafted two this weekend, Charlie Kohler and Isaiah Likely, both in the fourth round. They're going to get back to putting Mark Andrews and Boyle on the field at the same time. The reality is this, and I'll get your thought on it. I think wide receiver for the Ravens is the fifth most important position on their offense. I think it goes offensive line, Lamar Jackson, their running backs, their tight ends, and then their wide receivers. And I just think that's the best version of who they are.
I don't think people understand, to your point, how big the loss of Nick Boyle, who's one of the better blocking ends, tight ends in the NFL, a name we don't say a lot, was to this offense because it completely changed what they did, losing his presence. Fullback and tight end matter a lot in Baltimore. So I agree with your point, Stan, and I also agree that Rashad Bateman has the skill set to become the number one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Mina and Dano, you think about this football team. They said they didn't draft a wide receiver, but they signed Mekhi Polk from Mississippi State, formerly of Cal. He signed Devin Williams from Oregon and Amika Amezi from NC State, Slade Bolden, Alabama. So four undrafted free agents have ability or coming to the Ravens. In terms of Hollywood, I heard a lot of me and I, not a lot of we and us, and now he's an Arizona Cardinal. But for this football team, left tackle Ronnie Stanley, how will he be this year? Will he be back to his tremendous form that he showed early on? And what form will J.K. Dobbins be in coming off that significant injury at running back? So those two key elements of this offense, we'll have to see how they perform in 2022.
Yeah, and I look at this too. We mentioned the tight ends and how important it is in the offense. You obviously have Mark Andrews as the number one guy, but you're going to get production out of these rookies. And remember back to 2018, they drafted Hayden Hurst in the first round, pick 25. And then a couple of rounds later, in round three, they drafted Mark Andrews. Andrews wound up being the better tight end of the group. This year, Charlie Kohler is a really big, strong guy who can block in line, a good possession receiver. Isaiah Likely, who they drafted later in the fourth round, is the second tight end that they took coming out of Coastal Carolina. He's the pass catcher.
Yeah.
He can stretch the seam. He can go make plays down the field. It won't shock me if we look back at this draft like we did on the 2018 draft and say the second tight end they got in that draft class was the more productive one for the Baltimore Ravens.
You know, Dan, the thing about all this is that we're still waiting to find out what it looks like for Lamar in a contract situation. Once again, he seems in no rush there. But when you think about what this team looks like, obviously he's banking on himself winning, getting to the Super Bowl, maybe winning a Super Bowl. Is this, with the roster that you're seeing right now, does this look like a Super Bowl contending team?
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Yep.
They're as good as anybody in the AFC, maybe outside of Buffalo and Kansas City, but they're right in that group. We felt they were going to be just because of the people they were getting back healthy. And to Mel's point, Ronnie Stanley and J.K. Dobbins coming back is huge. Also, this is an organization that has drafted six receivers in the last three drafts. So can Devin Duvernay, who they took a couple years ago from Texas, take a giant leap forward? Tylan Wallace from Oklahoma State. They have Rashad Bateman, who is a good player. James Prochet. They do not need their receivers to play dominant football. I know everyone was like, evolution of passing game. That's not who they are.
Yeah.
When they chose Lamar Jackson, they went all in, as they should have. This is the best version of Baltimore. This is the version that I believe gives them the best chance to actually win the Super Bowl.
All right, well, there you go. And then Lamar didn't have to worry about a contract this year because if he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback, the rest is history. We got a lot more coming your way here on NFL Live. You may have found the Patriots first round strange. Taking a Chattanooga lineman.
I see what you did.
The rest of the draft left us with more questions than answers. See why next. We'll be right back. Glad you're with us on NFL Live. Don't forget, all 10 episodes of Tom Brady's Man in the Arena are streaming now on ESPN Plus. Don't miss that. And we're so excited about this. The NFL will have five international games this season, highlighted by our first ever ESPN Plus exclusive international matchup. The NFL formally announces those dates, locations, and matchups on Wednesday. The full schedule release will be Thursday, May 12th at 8 Eastern on ESPN2, ESPN Plus, and the NFL Network. Now the draft is in the book, so time for some quick reads. We went through the best of the draft, but who still has some work to do after their draft? Dan, start with you.
The Jacksonville Jaguars. I've been adamant I would have taken Aiden Hutchinson. They took Trayvon Walker at number one. He's got to get more sacks in one season than he did in his whole career. And then two linebackers and back-to-back picks. I understand that they're good players. I love Lloyd as a guy, but, like, does it really help Trevor Lawrence? Zero picks taken for Trevor Lawrence at the wide receiver position. Swings and misses for the Jacksonville Jaguars for me.
Well, you think Trevor Lawrence has a bad? How about Justin Fields? Didn't love this draft, even though I like the players they took. Kyler Gordon, right, hard-hitting cornerback out of Washington. Jaquan Brisker, perfect for that two-high stuff they want to run on defense. But when you look at this depth chart and you see the wide receivers that Justin Fields is going to the season with, you can't feel good about his development this year.
I'll go with the Carolina Panthers here. You know, you look at the Panthers, I love their first pick. I didn't think Ikem Ekwonu was going to fall to them at number six coming out of NC State. Best tackle in the class, so they fill that huge void that they have at left tackle. Then they didn't have picks in the second or third round. They moved back in to get Matt Corral. Where they got him, yes, it was a good value, but is he going to be an upgrade over Sam Darnold? Is he ultimately going to be the starter there? I think Carolina's going to be picking high again next year, probably will use their first-round pick on a quarterback then.
Todd, I'll get the New England Patriots draft. Perplexing and surprising. You look at some of the players they took. Cole Strange, Tyquan Thornton, a guy like Jack Jones, Bailey Zappe, maybe a round earlier than maybe they should have based on our ratings or my ratings. And I think Bailey Zappe, the fourth round pick, when you have Mac Jones, I like Bailey Zappe. Is it going to be Drew Brees? We'll see. But that in the fourth round, when you have other needs on the defensive side of the ball, seven offensive picks, only three defensive picks for the Pats.
Yeah, and Mel, you had Cole Strange ranked as your 69th overall prospect on your big board, and New England then selected Baylor wide receiver Tyquan Thornton in the second round. He ran the fastest 40-yard dash by any wide receiver at this year's combine. However, Thornton was ranked as the 193rd overall prospect on Kuiper's big board. So, Todd, the Patriots got Kuiper's worst draft grade. Do you agree with that?
I tend to agree. And listen, Cole Strange is going to be an eight-year starter, is my guess. And Bill Belichick will be 78 and looking down and seeing that he's still got his starting guard there from this year's draft. But they could have gotten him later. Remember, they moved back in the first round. So if they really wanted Strange, they could have taken another player at 29. They could have then moved up a little bit in the second round if they were worried they weren't going to get Strange and got him there in the second. And then you could have gotten Tyquan Thornton in the third round. That's where everyone I talked to had him graded, in the third to fourth round range. So to me, it wasn't that they got bad players. These guys will contribute. It's where they got them and not knowing the draft and where players were going to fall.
Yeah, here's what confuses me, and maybe, Todd, you can help me. I don't understand why they didn't stick with Trent McDuffie, at 21, and to let him go to an AFC contender in Kansas City. I think the Washington cornerback, who's incredibly athletic, versatile, and most importantly, extremely smart, would have been a day one starter for a Patriots defense that desperately needs cornerbacks to get younger. So they really confused me from day one with that decision. And obviously their evaluation of him is different from mine, but I found it incredibly perplexing.
Yeah, I'm far too skinny to talk about offensive linemen, so I'm not going to get into the Strange.
So skinny.
Pick, but Thornton in the second round gives me vibes of Corey Coleman, gives me vibes of Kendall Wright, gives me vibes of Denzel Mims or Tyrell Williams. Like these Baylor receivers that are supposed to be awesome receivers, they come into the NFL and then they're not great players. And for an offense that needed a difference maker at receiver, the receivers that went after Thornton, I know the Patriots were looking for speed. The receivers that went after them were Sky Moore, Alec Pierce, George Pickens. Like, give me one of those cats and I feel way better, because they're both speedy receivers and good players. Like, you know, more refined wide receivers. And then the selection of a quarterback when I have Mac Jones makes no sense to me. And then the selection of two tailbacks when I have Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevens makes absolutely no sense to me. So I get it's the Patriots, but I'm confused by a lot of what they did.
Yeah, Dan, I think the point is with them, it was the reaches. And I think when you look at the players, they're not bad. And Laura was talking about the rankings, the number. Remember, that number is the same as some guys that maybe you could have been a little ahead. So if you're 68, you could have very easily been on a rankings. The Todd knows this, the grades are so similar, and some are exactly the same. 68, 69 could very easily be 59, you know, 55 in that area. So when you look at the guys, I think the key is going to be, obviously, Tyquan Thornton. Tyquan Thornton is a spindly receiver, but he's got incredible speed. I thought he showed toughness, thought he block well in some games. So there's talent to work with Thornton. And Jack Jones had 10 career interceptions. Go back to USC and then what he did at Arizona State. And Marcus Jones had 9 returns, 6 kickoff returns for touchdowns, 3 punt returns. He intercepted 9 passes in his career, both at Troy and at Houston. So some of these guys have ability. All we're saying is they went a little earlier than they should have. And my attitude is, what's a C, you talking about a C plus and a B minus? I had 10 teams with B minuses, 2 with C pluses. C plus, B minus, that's kind of splitting hairs, I think.
Yeah, you know, guys, I found this really interesting. The Patriots have drafted 2 players since 2014 that have been selected to a Pro Bowl in their career. That's tied for the fewest in the NFL. Those players are Mac Jones and Jake Bailey. So if you look at the drafts, it's a little confusing. Yeah, one's a punter. And then one, of course, is the quarterback. And then there's Tom Brady, of course, before that. Anyway, coming up, we've got only one quarterback promising a Super Bowl right after being drafted, and that was the Falcons' 3rd rounder, Desmond Ridder. Even though he has lofty expectations, hear why Mina loves that pick. Plus, we are back to the breaking news of the day. Everything you need to know about Tyrann Mathieu and the suspension of DeAndre Hopkins. Adam Schefter rejoins us. And, of course, these guys have all the analysis. We'll be right back here on NFL Live. Dan, are you dancing?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Las Vegas, time to get the show started.
The Pittsburgh Steelers select Kenny Pickett, quarterback.
The Atlanta Falcons select Desmond Ridder.
He's going to fit in so well that I think he's got an incredible future.
The Tennessee Titans select Malik Willis.
That could be a perfect fit in 2023 while he learns this year.
They're going to get everything out of me.
This is exactly where, you know, I thought I would be.
Quarterbacks, always a major storyline in the draft, but the position lost some momentum this year. Only one quarterback taken round one, Kenny Pickett, taken 20th overall to the Steelers. Mel Kiper Jr., you like Pickett being the first QB off the board?
Willis and Pickett, Laura, had the same grade. They were right there on the board at the same spot. Think about Mark Whipple. Mark Whipple coached Ben Roethlisberger when he was a rookie playing right away and the youngest quarterback ever to win a Super Bowl. Mark Whipple coached Kenny Pickett. They know more about Kenny Pickett than anybody playing at Heinz Field. Sometimes you know somebody so well, you maybe don't take them because you find something wrong. They knew everything about Kenny Pickett and they loved it. They took him. Credit to the organization and the Pittsburgh Steelers and Kevin Colbert. They did all their due diligence. They know him better than everybody else, and now he's the quarterback.
He goes across the hall. Desmond Ridder, the next quarterback drafted all the way round 3 to the Falcons. The other quarterback for Atlanta, Marcus Mariota. Here's Ridder on his excitement going to Atlanta.
They're going to get everything out of me. They're going to get a Super Bowl out of me. They're going to get someone who comes in, works hard every single day, first one in, last one out. And you know, I'm not leaving there until I get a Super Bowl.
Mina, you like this pick by the Falcons?
I do. I love it. So here's the thing. Look at their whole team as a whole. You got Drake London, big-bodied, physical wide receiver next to Kyle Pitts, who's obviously incredibly strong and fast as well. And now you've got a quarterback who's aggressive inside the pocket but can also do designed runs really well outside of it. If you squint hard enough, it's kind of the Tennessee Titans, and you see the vision that Arthur Smith is building in Atlanta, finally.
Oh, I love it. Malik Willis had a drop that we didn't see coming. He was drafted by Tennessee in the 3rd round with the 86th overall pick. Dan, you predicted a quarterback to Tennessee, ends up being Willis.
Yeah, and I think it makes a lot of sense for both him and the team. Number one, the team's scheme is built upon quarterback movement, getting guys outside of the pocket, fully, halfway, and then the play-action game. That's a Malik Willis strength. I also love the fact that they do have Ryan Tannehill, and he doesn't have to get on the field right now and try to win and develop at the same time. And I love the fact that their head coach and general manager are securing their jobs. So they're not going to feel the pressure to run him on the field and prove to ownership, we've got this young player, save our jobs. It's a really ideal fit for both player and organization.
On to Carolina. Many projected a quarterback to them with the 6th overall pick. They waited until number 94 to draft Ole Miss quarterback Matt Corral. Todd, is this a good fit?
Well, it's a good value. I can tell you that, getting Corral in the 3rd round. I don't know about the fit, though, honestly. This year, Sam Darnold, to me, will provide more than Matt Corral could as a rookie. And then moving forward, I would much rather have traded up 9 spots and gotten ahead of where Malik Willis was coming off the board and take him then, where the Tennessee Titans took him 8 picks ahead of where they took Matt Corral. To me, having a situation where Malik Willis could come in and be the guy in the future, and you have one more year with Sam Darnold, that makes all the sense in the world to me. Corral, yeah, good value fit. I don't see him as a future star in the league, though.
Dan, the camera's over there. What are you doing over there?
I'm
swinging?
Yeah, just my swing through.
That's a good use of your time right now.
Just in case the Sixers need me.
Oh, my goodness. They might need you. All right, we got a lot more coming your way on NFL Live. We're going to get back to the breaking news of the day. Total mess. Tyrann Mathieu heading home to New Orleans. We'll explain how that fit makes sense. Also, the news around DeAndre Hopkins being suspended for 6 games. Where do the Cardinals go from there? Adam Schefter rejoins with the latest.
I'm bullish on the Saints. Ready?
Okay. We're back on NFL Live with breaking news today. Adam Schefter here. Let's begin with the story around the Saints' agreement with Tyrann Mathieu.
Well, they have an agreement in place right now, Laura, a 3-year, $33 million contract that includes $18 million guaranteed. The language is still being finalized. The deal is yet to be signed, but it is expected to be signed. And Honey Badger will come home to New Orleans, where he was born and raised, and help be a leader on that defense in the secondary. The Saints visited with him about a month ago, went into the draft hoping to get some safety help, didn't get it there, obviously started backup talks with Tyrann Mathieu, and they'll get that deal done here this week before much time. 3 years, $33 million. And the big news today, of course, DeAndre Hopkins suspended 6 games for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing drug policy. He has withdrawn his appeal. The suspension stands. He will be allowed to go through the preseason, but he will be out for the first 6 games, which matches the amount of time that he missed at the end of last season with a knee injury. Earlier in the year, he had an ankle injury. And over the course of the first 8 years of his career, he missed only 1 game. But last year, the absences started piling up, and now they will continue into the 2022 season. Hopkins will miss the first 6 games for violating the league's PED policy.
Yeah, and Adam, as we said up the top of the show, Kyler Murray, a very different quarterback with and without Hopkins, as many quarterbacks would be. Dan, as you hear what's going on with DeAndre Hopkins, you think about the Cardinals situation, the money that they may need to pay Kyler Murray, what comes to mind?
Green Bay. The Packers should call Arizona. That's what I would do. So I said this on last week when the Hollywood Brown trade went down on NFL Live. I said, how are they going to pay Hollywood Brown, who they're going to because of the contract or because of the trade? They're going to pay Kyler Murray and find a way to redo DeAndre Hopkins. You're not going to be able to do all 3. And if I'm Arizona, I'm sitting here going, I lose DeAndre Hopkins for a third of the season. This is a way for me to find a way to get your money off of my books. And if I'm Green Bay and I could take a draft pick and send it to Arizona, now, his contract, I think, is like $18 million this year, so that's a big number. But I don't need you for the first 6 games. I'm in the playoffs because the conference is weak. I want that difference-maker receiver. And now it becomes a completely different conversation about Green Bay. So if I was Green Bay, I would be calling Arizona to see what would it cost to get DeAndre Hopkins. And if I was Arizona, I would be thinking long and hard about making that deal.
Wow. I mean, I'll look at this from the Cardinals' kind of point of view. To do that sort of deal with one of the few contenders in the NFC would basically conceding that they don't think they're going to be a playoff team this season, honestly. And I don't think, given the head coach being on a hot seat, frankly, I mean, obviously they were extended, but that doesn't really mean much these days, they'd be willing to do that. A thought I had about the Cardinals, though, ever since Adam broke the news at the beginning of the show is, when Cliff Kingsbury came in, everyone expected, you know, air raid, and we saw a lot of that 10 personnel. But quietly, this offense was actually better running the ball and throwing to tight ends that first year. And I think they need to go back to that in a lot of ways. You know, this is not a team that can roll out 4 wide receivers. This is a team that drafted Trey McBride, who I thought was the best tight end in the draft. And of course has Zach Ertz as well and has a good running back situation. I think they need to radically rethink their offense if they expect to compete this season.
Yeah, I mean, that this is a good point. I mean, I would say, do they view Hollywood as a bona fide number one? Because I don't know if they do. Now, I know they traded a first-round pick for him, so you would think that. But I don't know if they view him as the same scheme changer that DeAndre Hopkins is. Last year, Kyler was 8-2 as their starting quarterback with DeAndre Hopkins. He was 1-4 without him. So how does Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, in a must-win year, contracts online, all that stuff, how do they build an offense without that bona fide number one scheme-changing kind of dominant receiver? Because I do not believe that's Hollywood Brown, and I don't believe it's Rondale Moore. So if they go to a 12 offense, you're also playing to what I would say is not your quarterback's strength.
That's interesting. And Mina, when you think about Hollywood Brown and the way that you look at him, is he a bona fide number one? I realize maybe some of that's left to be figured out, but right now.
Yeah. I mean, he's certainly not a number one in the sense that Hopkins was.
Right.
Hopkins is one of the most versatile and sure-handed, notably the contrast there, receivers in the NFL. He completely tilts the field in a way that Hollywood Brown doesn't. However, Hollywood brings some unique attributes to this offense. In addition to his speed, you can use him to stretch the field horizontally. So again, this is really a challenge for Cliff Kingsbury more than anyone else.
All right, let's get to the other breaking news of the day. That's Tyrann Mathieu. And over the last three seasons, Mathieu has held opposing quarterbacks to the fifth lowest passer rating among players that have been targeted at least 125 times. Mathieu has the best mark by a safety, and he's one of two defensive backs to earn three first-team All-Pro selections since 2015. That's along with Jalen Ramsey. So he now signs with the Saints. He goes home. Dan, how do you feel about this signing?
I love it for New Orleans. I think, first of all, you'll see him play that very similar Malcolm Jenkins type of role where he could play linebacker, he'll be a blitzer, they'll play him at safety. I love that it allows other players on their defense to play to their ideal positions. Like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson doesn't have to play safety. He then allows him to play inside at that nickel position. They got Marcus May from the New York Jets. The Saints fundamentally, Mina, you know this, like defensively, they're about, we want to rush four. We want to play that man-to-man sticky coverage underneath. And their two safeties really are instinct-based, vision-based ball hawks because of the pressure and the coverage. And I think that is what Tyrann Mathieu does absolutely at his best. And if that pass rush is as good as it has been in years past, this is going to be phenomenal for the Saints defense.
Mina, this team had a good couple of days in terms of signing. What did you think of their draft? Notably, you think about Chris Olave. They really wanted to get Olave on this team, obviously.
Yeah, I think everything the Saints have done from the offseason to signing Mathieu to their draft speaks to their confidence in Jameis Winston, to the fact that they believe they can win now. Yeah. Going back to the Olave trade, you know, so we saw some other big wide receiver moves in this draft. The Lions trading out for Jameson Williams, the Eagles trading a first rounder for A.J. Brown and then paying him. Notably, those teams did not trade 2023 first round picks. The Saints did that to go up and get Olave. That is a win now state of mind. Whether it'll work remains to be seen, but I think their intentions and their approach to this season are very clear and make a bit of sense when you consider, as we've discussed, the weekend NFC.
Yeah, Adam, when you broke the news about the Saints trading with the Eagles when it came to the draft picks, you said that the Saints really felt good about their chances. Yeah. How would you add on to that now that you see this signing and then, of course, their draft?
Well, it's very evident. They obviously felt like they had to move up to stay in front of the Washington Commanders and the Green Bay Packers to go get Chris Olave,
right,
because I think they felt that those two teams were zeroed in on Olave. And if you just look at all these moves, Tyrann Mathieu on a cap-strapped team, it's a situation where they believe that they're good enough to beat Tom Brady and the Bucs this season, which is why they made the moves for the picks this season,
right,
because they believe that they can win the division this season, and the Honey Badger is just more evidence of that. They're playing for now, and if it goes the other way, the Philadelphia Eagles will be the benefactors of it in the 2023 draft. But right now, the Saints feel like they're built to compete and win this upcoming season.
This Saints defensive line has dominated Tampa Bay over the last 2 years, and that Tampa Bay offensive line was better than it is now. The Saints season will come down to two things: how well Jameis Winston plays off the knee and without Sean Payton,
And is Trevor Penning the legit left tackle that they believe him to be?
I cannot wait to see what Jameis Winston does this year, you guys. I feel like this could finally be the Jameis that we thought he would be years ago when he was drafted and when we felt like he brought so much talent to the league. We got a lot more coming your way on NFL Live this week, you guys. We're not going anywhere. The draft may be over, but the news keeps coming. And NFL Live has it all for you right here. Thanks for joining us today.